Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining in. Dr. Judy, WTF, what the Freud? And this is a call-in show, everyone. And tonight, we're going to have a special guest and I discuss the topic of, the topic is guilt. Is it a sign of empathy? And we're about to find out. And the reason I'm having my guest, John, on the show, and I put that in quotes because I like to keep people's identity private, is because he inspired the topic. And I'm going to introduce him soon, but first I want to introduce the mind map, the Be the Cause mind map, and know that you can avail yourself of a free copy of the book, Be the Cause, Healing Human Disconnect, so that you can learn and you can prevent yourself from falling into psychopathology, a term that I like to use, and connect the dots. As you can see, the DNA strand is an evolutionary strand where you connect the dots and you become the cause of better outcomes for your life through becoming more and more conscious and less in the darkness of the injuries of your past. So the mind map is a system I created many years ago. And this is a system that I put together to create a pathway to healing. Unlike traditional psychotherapy that usually doesn't have a beginning, middle, and an end, this has a beginning, a middle, and an end that we're going toward, which is the goal, which is to live our life as the cause of outcomes that are better for our well-being and the betterment of the next generation. So if you look at the mind map, you will see that it is divided into three rows, the past being the wounds of childhood, wounds like abuses and neglects, how we react to those abuses and neglects and encode them, and how those encodings then create a trigger point within us that takes us down the dark tunnel of chaos, defenses, and breakdowns. So if you look at the mind map, it's also a developmental model from the past into the chaos, defenses, and breakdowns of the here and now, and how to morph out of the mess so that you can, as I said, be the cause and not be at the effect of your childhood past and wounds of the past. So with that said, I would like to open up the discussion about guilt. Is it a sign of empathy? And so, John, if you'd like to come in, please join. And if you need a few minutes, that's okay, because I'm going to start on the topic. And if he calls in, please let him into the conversation. I believe he's trying to call in. Is that correct?
He is not here yet, but I will let you know as soon as he arrives.
Okay. So why did I come up with this title? Because I want to make some distinctions so that people don't get confused. So while people are healing from childhood wounds and narcissism and systems gone wrong, we have John. So thank you, John. Welcome to the show. Really appreciate you being here.
Yes.
Can you hear me all right?
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, John. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you. So first of all, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always more interesting for me to bounce ideas off of somebody else rather than do a monologue. So I really appreciate you. And you are familiar with the mind map, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And so when I decided to do this topic on guilt and empathy, what is guilt and how does it relate to empathy? You said, yeah, let's do this. And so we're going to do this. And so I want to ask the audience to think about that. Guilt and empathy, what the heck, what the Freud do they have to do with one another? So John, any thoughts about that? Guilt and empathy, what do they have to do with each other? What are your thoughts on that?
That's the one reason why I was calling in. I just wanted to learn more about the difference between the two.
Okay, so you would think that if you experience guilt, you have some level of empathy, correct?
Yes.
So I would agree with that. So if I stole something from somebody else, then I'd feel guilty about that, wouldn't I now? I mean, at least I would. Some people wouldn't, and they would have no feelings about it. And so they'd be on another end of the scale of mental health, called probably more on the sociopathic scale, where they just don't care. So if you have no guilt, you just don't care. You can do pretty much anything. You could steal, you can slander somebody, you can defraud a person, you can even murder them. And who cares? You're not hurt, so what? So, okay, so that's the other side of the bell-shaped curve of sociopathy. Now, within the middle range is the bell shape, right? That's why the curve kind of goes like this. And in the middle range, most people will feel a sense of guilt if they do something that is out of integrity, hurts another human being, has dire consequences on another person's life, correct?
Yes.
So it's supposed to sting, right? I mean, if we don't feel it, then we're pretty numbed out and we're on the sociopathic end of things, and there's no discussion because there's no care. There's nothing to really reel that person back into a human or humane interaction with members of the human race. So guilt is very, very important because it's sort of like a reminder that something is off. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask the audience as well. But what if there's just simply guilt? And okay, let me give you an example. Let's play it out here. So let's say I stole $10,000 from you, John. Okay, I didn't really. But let's say I stole ten thousands of dollars from you, right? And you say, "Hey, Dr. Judy, like that was bad. That really hurt my finances. That's horrible, Dr. Judy." And then I look at you and I say, "Yeah, I know, John. That was pretty bad, right?" And you would say, "What?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, John. That was really, really horrible of me. And as a matter of fact, I feel really, really guilty. Really guilty." So what would you say to me then?
What are you going to do about it?
Well, now you sound like a healthy human being. Okay. And that's why we're doing this show together. What am I going to do about it? You know, John, I'm not going to do anything about it because I'm so sorry. My life is in shambles. And, you know, I'm just in such bad shape. I think it, you know, if I start doing something about it, I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. I'm not going to be able to buy food. As a matter of fact, I might even be homeless. So I just want to apologize. I feel so, so bad. Now what? Where are we now?
It's great for you to say that you apologize, but it still doesn't give me my $10,000 back.
There we go. And that's what a normal, healthy human being would say in this conversation. Okay, so, is it enough that I feel guilty? Does that show that I have empathy? Okay, so let's say the tears are rolling down my cheeks, which I can't do because I put mascara on tonight, so not going to happen. But let's say I was crying. Oh, John, please understand. You don't get it. I'm going to be out on the street. Have a heart. Have a heart. Okay, so now where are we in the conversation?
Still the same place. I'd like my $10,000 back.
Exactly. Okay. So does guilt help absolve the taking of your $10,000?
No, it doesn't. It's like all words and no action.
All words and no actions. But I, as the guilty person, I feel like I'm a good person now because, you know, I have guilt. So I must have a good heart. If I feel bad about it, that's enough, isn't it?
Not quite.
You're catching on quickly. Not quite. So my nice heartedness, my guilty heart is really not enough, because in order to really have empathy at a significant level, what does the person have to do?
They would have to make it right, I would think.
Exactly. They would have to make the other person whole. And in order to make myself whole with you in this contrived scenario, I would have to pay back that $10,000 and maybe even the interest that you lost because I was using your $10,000, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if I said to you, you know, John, I feel really, really guilty about this. It's a horrible thing that I did. And you know what? I'm going to make it right by you. I'm going to start to pay you back on this $10,000. And what I'd like you to do is calculate the interest that you lost and add that to the bill. Okay. And I'm going to make good on that. How does that sound?
It sounds like a step in the right direction.
Right. And if I just stay in my words only, then nothing from nothing is nothing, because I could say it, but if I don't follow through, then it's the same thing as my guilt, correct? But if actually
right.
you got a wire transfer into your account for $10,000 plus interest, then what?
There's still a disappointment, even after receiving the money, because it happened to begin with, or even happened.
I think that's a really great point, and thank you for bringing that up, because that's truth, isn't it? Now, aren't you disappointed that I did that to you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I make that right?
That's a good question.
Yeah, you know, I don't ask easy questions here. And sometimes I ask questions that I myself don't know the answer to. And sometimes it takes some thinking and processing. Now, did you make me take that money? Of course not. I took it without your consent. It was a unilateral decision. So now you get to say to me what I need to do to make that right. John, I actually created a disconnect between you and I by taking that money. Did I not?
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. I really, really did. So number one, I felt guilty, and that sort of incentivized me to know that I've got some level of conscience. And then I took another step and I told you that I'd repay you the money. And then I took another step and I actually wire transferred the money to you plus interest. But you're still left with this disappointment in me. What can I do? And, you know, I'm really throwing that question out there and I don't have an answer, but maybe you do, because I took your money. So now it's up to you to say, hey, you know, in order to repair this, something's got to happen. Can we agree upon that?
Yes. I'm just not quite sure what that would be.
Okay. So look, John, I don't know what that could be either, but I just want you to know that I'm very, very sorry. I feel remorseful. I paid you back the money. I know that it scarred our relationship, and I want you to think about how I can repair that. Okay. Do I deserve repair with you? If you call the shots and say, this is what you need to do to repair, as long as it's within the range of fairness. Do I deserve to be forgiven?
You know, I think that's a good question also. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. So I think where we're going with this, if I'm not mistaken, is that some things are so tough and such a disconnect that they're almost too difficult to forgive. They're almost too difficult. Okay, so here's what right. I want you to do in this little scenario that I've created is, John, I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I want to make this whole, I want to reconnect to you, and just sit with it and let me know what I can do to repair. Could you do that? And you don't have to have an answer right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that. So now I'm going to go to panel number four. Okay. So
okay.
Panel number four is a panel about chaos, isn't it? See all the bonds, they're broken. Little people flying all
right.
over the place. It's a mess. So by my making a unilateral decision without your permission to take that $10,000, I have broken that bond of, maybe we can call it trust, correct?
Right.
So not only are you in chaos because you're disappointed and you're probably angry and hurt and all of those feelings, I'm disappointed too, because, oh my God, look what I've done. I've created this mess, and, you know, I'm not very happy with myself either. Okay, so you could see that chaos is what results from a broken connection. So that's what I did in this scenario, is I broke the connection. Now, let's take a look at panel number eight for a minute, okay?
Yes.
Panel number eight, it represents a rebuilding of the original faulty DNA that is evolutionary, okay? It is a representation of a solid bond. It's a representation of repair. It's a representation of evolution. It's a representation of neutrality. Look at the pH water in the background. It's blue, it's healthy, it's clean. So it's a representation of the possibility of repair. And you could see that people on this ladder, instead of falling apart and being out there in the ozone and just floating around in nonsense land, chaos land. Do you see what's happening with the people on the ladder? Can you see the little people on there?
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you see?
Climbing the ladder.
They're climbing
like.
The ladder. And what are the individuals doing on that ladder?
Can't quite make it out on my screen.
Right. It's a little difficult to see, but they're actually helping each other up the ladder. Each one of them is they're holding hands. So the one on the lower ring is being helped by the person with above them, and they're pulling each other up this ladder of evolution. And so our society is built on, let's take the prison system, all right? So people cause all these, you know, chaotic crimes and disconnects from family and humanity and so on. However, even in the prison system, there's some way to earn it back, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you can bring somebody that's been murdered back to life. That doesn't mean that you can clean every single piece of damage that you've done, but it does mean that we're built to have some level of grace where we can allow for repair. Isn't that so?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's some level of goodwill, hopefully within each one of us, that says, well, you know, I don't like to be disconnected from you. I don't like what I did. I don't like the effects it had on you. And please, 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 John, let me go back on the ladder of repair. Could you please let me back? And then what do you say?
Sure.
Sure, with conditions.
We could work on that.
Right? That we could work
right,
on.
Right, with conditions, right? With boundaries. Right. With
boundaries and conditions. Okay, so that's what I'm getting at, is that guilt in and of itself may be the first little, how shall I put it? It's the first indication of a step toward empathy. But here's why I'm doing the show, because a lot of people will say things like, oh, I'm guilty, I'm so sorry, look at the tears, I feel so bad. beating their chest, guilty, 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 accept, no repair. Okay? So the point is, some people actually think that guilt is reparative. Okay? If I feel bad for you, I'm now repaired for you, with you. And as we've established, not at all. So can we say that in some cases, when people use guilt and don't move it forward, the it doesn't evolve into repair. So when, what I'm saying is that when guilt doesn't evolve into repair and stays in the form of guilt, is that empathic?
Yes, I'm sorry, it cut out a little bit on me. I couldn't hear that.
Okay, no problem. So if guilt is just in its stalemated form, it doesn't if it doesn't lead to some sort of reparative action, is it enough to mitigate the damages?
No, I would say it's not.
So can you say that guilt is, if I feel guilty, am I an empathic person? If I just leave it at that stage, I feel guilty, I'm crying, I hurt you, I feel bad, am I now an empathic person?
I wouldn't think so. It could just be like a trained response.
Yes. So it's not evolutionary, see? And sometimes it fools people into thinking that they're good people because they feel really, really guilty. Now I'm a good person. I feel guilty. I'm an empathic person. I'm crying. I'm begging your forgiveness. I've now said sorry 1,000 times. It's just that, as you pointed out earlier, unless I bring you to wholeness, in other words, unless I pay you back that money with interest and then repair whatever damages the disconnect causes, my guilt is nowhere near an empathic response to what I did. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I would say so. Yep.
So why am I doing this show? Because I want everybody out there that feels guilty and is just thinking that they're wonderful empathic people because they feel bad for what they did and they don't lift a finger to do any kind of repair. I want them to look and self-reflect on that. Okay, because I think we actually in our society somewhat buy into, well, you know, don't bother her. She feels really bad about it. What do you expect from her? You know, she's crying. Leave him alone. He feels bad about what he did. With no attempt at repair, is anybody out there buying it? And if you're buying it, please call in and ask away. Ask John, ask myself, and let's have a conversation about it. So do you see the point of why I brought this theme to the radio show? It's such an important one, because I think that part of the work of the mind map, as you know, John, is to bust the lies, correct? And bust the system gone wrong. And so I'm suggesting that guilt is not busting anything. It's just sort of almost like a cover up for not taking action. Would you agree with that?
Seems like it's, it seems like it's kind of selfish, and it's all about that person that is guilty and not about the victim.
Yes, and I think we've all been guilty of that. I mean, certainly there have been times when I said, I'm so, so sorry, but I like when people hold me to the truth fire and say, well, okay, great, you did this, what are you going to do about it? And then if I truly want to move the evolutionary ladder, if I want to climb that evolutionary ladder, I now have to connect the disconnect, don't I? I can't just allow it to stay in guilt form. Not good enough. Okay, so guilt is a good first step. However, staying guilty without repair, I think we can safely conclude, is not empathic, correct?
Right, it is not.
So tell me more about your thoughts. You started saying, well, it almost sounds selfish on the person's part. So where were you going with that?
It seems like guilt is all turned around to the person that is guilty. It's all about them. It's not about the person that was harmed.
Beautiful.
And it's kind of like, where do you get your level of guilt at? Is it from your religious beliefs, or is it your, you know, how is your moral compass developed, you know, to have guilt or not to have guilt?
Right. And so guilt has to lead somewhere, right? It's got to be an incentive for repair. And if it's just not, then as you said, it's selfish. It's all about the person needing to engage others in feeling bad for them because they did something bad. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I want you to feel bad for me, John, because I feel bad about what I did. Do you feel bad for me?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. All right, maybe a little bit. Maybe you feel bad that I had to take that course in life, right? Maybe you have some empathy that now that you know the mind map. Here, let's guess away at this. What kind of childhood wounds do you think I'd have to have in order to steal $10,000 from you and not act on anything to repair? What kind of childhood wounds would this be?
I would say that it would have to do something with their parents, of course, that background, and maybe promises that weren't fulfilled, things that were taken from the child by the parents.
Yes, yes. So things that were taken from the child, and then a reaction to that might be that the child copycatted the blueprint of taking. Yes. Right, they blueprinted all
yes.
that, and now the child is taking from another human being and acting out their childhood wounds. So do you see how important it is to bust that central causal blueprint that led to the action of something that created a lack of integrity and a disconnect? Because if I can say to you now, you know, John, I've been to therapy, I did my mind mapping, and wow, I discovered something not so happy about myself. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you're right. My parents kept taking my money. You know, they kept emptying out my piggy bank, and then when I was in high school, they made me work and then pay for them for their grocery bills. And sometimes they made me do double time because they had to pay other bills. And I just have been so sucked dry from my parents. And now I could see, I have had this light bulb go off that now in retribution to my parents, I'm acting out on other people and I'm taking from them. And I just had this realization, John, and it shocked me, okay? It shocked me to know, and now I could see the cause of my lack of integrity. And I just want you to know that. I'm still going to repair with you. I do want you to call the shots on how to do it, but I just want you to know that I now dealt with the pain of the disconnect and the anger that I felt toward my mother and my father and how they bled me out financially, and how this was the blueprint for me and set me up to be such a taker and a damager to other people. I got it. I really got it. Okay, so now what just happened in your head about me and repairing with you?
It's got a whole different feel to it energetically. As far as you, it's more of a positive thing that they are going to heal.
Okay, so now I'm not just using words to say, I'm sorry. I'm not just saying to you, I'm going to repay you with interest. I'm actually being very, very transparent with you, aren't I? Yes, I'm being vulnerable with you. And I'm telling you, wow, I am so shocked to learn that my blueprint for my family of origin that damaged me so much has been reenacted and unfortunately reenacted upon you. And I hate that part of myself, and I will do everything to heal that part of myself so that I don't do it to you and other people. So does it have a different energetic feel to it?
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot different.
Okay.
You want to give that person the benefit of the doubt that they're going to grow and heal.
Absolutely. Okay, so it's not just a good enough to do behavioral changes. And that's why I'm a fan of getting to the cause, and I'm a fan of having that paradigm shift from unconscious to conscious, because now I can shift out and share with you how I've shifted from being in the dark of why I unconsciously do these actions to, wow, I can't believe that I've turned out to be just like my parents and I'm acting all these things out. And once you know that I know, it shifts our relationship, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because now you can look at me and say, this woman has grown. This woman had a realization. Now, of course, I could fall below the line and steal more money from you, in which case you would say what?
Oh boy, here we go again. I don't think you learned anything. It was just all words before.
It's just all smoke and water, you know, smoke and mirrors. I said the right words, and you know, I'm an excellent manipulator, right? Because I just fed you all that about how I transformed, and then I went and I did the same thing over again. Zero growth, zero transformation. You see? So do you see how much it takes to really repair? You've got to, number one, you've got to have that little string in your heart that says, no, I don't like this. And then go to that person and say, I'm going to make you whole. And then go back to the person and say, you know, not only am I going to make you whole, I'm going to make you, I'm going to put the interest to that. And then I want to ask you what I could do to fix the disconnect. And then, you know, if it gets deeper than that, I could tell you, oh my God, I just woke up to why I'm like that. And then you can have a different energetic feel about me to know that I've actually learned something. So now, am I a safer person or less safe or the same?
I'd say about the same.
If I've actually shared with you that I have this conscious aha experience as to why I acted this way.
Oh, I apologize. I thought that it was talking about the same person and we've gone through this for the second time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then 100% right. Then no growth. Okay, but if you yeah. saw that I shared with you my process, I showed you why I am the way I am. I told you I don't like it. I told you that I actually want to divorce the old person that I used to be. I no longer want to be the compromised version of myself. I want to be a more evolved self. And as long as I don't do anything to ruin that, right? Now do we have a chance of repair?
Yes, I would say so. Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to go through this process to see that, to let the audience know that behavioral changes are not enough, apologies are not enough, guilt gets you nowhere, guilt keeps you stuck and not doing anything but feeling guilty and looking like you know, you actually care, but do you really if you haven't done anything to repair? So I just wanted to sort of unravel this whole process and And you've been extremely helpful, John, because I was able to bounce this off of you and you were able to say, well, you know, this works and that doesn't work. And when you do that, that's a disconnect. And when you do that, you energetically shift. And now I see possibilities. But if you go back to old behaviors, that's not going to work. And, you know, like we've been around the block on this one, don't you think?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so that's what I want people to do, is I want people to self-reflect and self-correct and see where they're fooling themselves into thinking that they're actually feeling something empathic and that they're actually showing the world that they have a nice heart when they haven't done a damn thing. Not worth too much, is it?
Nope, not worth too much at all.
So, John, do you want to maybe add anything to this, and anything that you want to share about what you're learning tonight, and just anything about anything that you know? And every time we do these shows, people, they listen, and hopefully they learn something, and hopefully they start to question. And out of it, I'm hoping that they actually do something and evolve. Is there anything else that you want to add to this conversation?
It's been very good, and I appreciate it. I wanted to find out if guilt can turn into empathy, a true empathy, for what that other person is going through.
Okay, so give me an example. Okay, so let's pick an example, and you pick it and tell me the scenario, and let's see how you're thinking about it now.
What was the scenario that you gave on the stealing the money, the person that stole the money? It would be my understanding that the empathy would be for them to put themselves in the shoes of the person that they stole the money from.
And if that were the case, then there would be an incentive to repair, wouldn't there be?
Right. But they would need to have empathy in order to have the ability to repair.
Beautiful. I think that's such a good point. So guilt is not enough, is it? You have to actually, as
right.
you said, now I'm going back into that scenario now. I have to have not just guilt, because as you pointed out, guilt is just self-serving. It's a way to look good without doing good. That's a good way to put it. Look good without doing good. Now I have to go the next step. I have to say, wow, I wonder how John feels about that. Wow, you know, I wonder if my taking $10,000 out of his bank account is in any way damaged his life. Maybe now he can't pay for his groceries this week, or maybe he can't pay his gas bills. And I'm not joking about the gas bills, because they're so up there, right? That the gas company now has full access to our bank account. So now I have to put myself in your shoes and think, oh, I'm wondering what kind of chaos I've caused in John's life. And remember, we are all interconnected. So let's say you're missing $10,000, and now you can't pay your bills, and now somebody's birthday is coming up, and now you can't even buy them a gift, and they're sitting there going like, wow, how come John isn't buying me my usual birthday present, or taking me out to dinner? What's going on here? So do you see the many levels of reverberation a simple act like that can create?
Yeah, it can affect a lot of levels. And I think that's
levels.
Something that the person that stole the money originally gave no thought to.
So one of the very important elements in repair is, as John is saying, is putting yourself in another person's shoes. That's empathy. That's the first step, right? I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I'm thinking about you. Like, how did I damage your life? What kind of chaos, what kind of a predicament did I now put you in because of my selfish act of siphoning $10,000 out of your bank account. Okay, so there now we have a thread of my putting myself in your shoes, and now comes the second step, which is, what am I going to do about this? Doesn't it always boil down to, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do to repair this? Without that, no growth.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So guilt, maybe a step in the right direction, putting yourself in another person's shoes, step in a better direction, making repair, not just making amends like, I'm so sorry, but actually repairing it, and then repairing the broken trust, and then giving insight to the person so that they can see that you see where it came from, and you're willing to be vulnerable and repair on that, and so that they could see that you're growing, and that you don't want to go backward. And that's really a mind map process that I just did for everybody, is that I went back to the childhood wounds that unconsciously infected my life and created this chaos of acting out on another human being, just because I decided, instead of being a victim, I now decided to victimize. And I think, let's see, we have another call. Yeah, let's take the call. And if you don't mind, John, stay on for a minute and they can ask away. And hi,
sure.
You're on the call. And what is your name, please? Or what name would you like me to call you?
Dale from Washington.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure which direction the show was going to go, but it all kind of made sense. And I think guilt with follow-through is true empathy, and guilt without follow-through is just gaslighting, is kind of how I'm seeing
it.
Thank you.
Well, Dale, you've done some amazing transformation in your life, and the main one that I remember is that the big concept and takeaway is that you are able to pull out of the system, and you're able to identify it rather than be dragged down into the mud and identify with it. Is that pretty much generally your big takeaway from all of the conversations and all the work that you've done with the mind map and the discussions that we've had?
Yeah, doctor, I'm one of those who it took over 60 years to finally figure out what the game was, and to have the aha moment and say, why have you been trying to fix everybody else's problems? Why have you been taking it upon yourself to be the person who felt like they had to take care of all the other people's burdens when you were being played by them? And I can't tell you how many vulnerable, narcissistic, victim-type people I've run across, and I felt sorry for them, and I either gave them money or gave them time and effort and all kinds of things, and then only to be played. And then I always felt hurt and angry and depressed and anxious, and I'd keep thinking, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? When I wasn't doing anything wrong, except I wasn't wise to what the game was, and it was their game, and they were playing me. And so your thing tonight is it. I can't tell you how many people say, oh gosh, I feel so bad. I'm such a victim. And we all fall for that. And they're just gaslighting us. They're gaslighting us. They don't do anything to improve. I tried to help this one old guy I had. I thought he was a friend. You couldn't believe the stuff I did for him. I virtually remodeled his whole house over many years. It just, at my expense. And then every time it would just turn around. If he needed something, I was his best friend. If he was done using me for a while, then I would never hear from him. So that's how it would go.
And that's what I call vampiring. Vampiring effects of narcissism, where they get better and you don't. So my model for the better game of life, of course, is synergy. It's panel number 7, where your energy or your money or your time or whatever it is plus who they are and what they contribute is synergistic. It's 1 + 1 = 2. So that person is enhanced, but not at your expense, and that both of you grow. And that's the dream. It's a growth partner, whether it be a husband, a wife, a business partner, a friend, anybody. That's the game of life that I'm hoping to philosophically impart to my audience. It's a better game of life. It's not narcissistic. It's not a victim. It's actually minding your boundaries and understanding who to give to, who not to give to, and figure out where the contribution is enhancing the other party and not at the expense of yourself. So I think you learned right. that and very, very well after several lessons and lots of money and time and energy drained out of you. So you're not really good vampire material, are you, Dale, at this stage of your life?
Not anymore. And it's a blessing because I've got other issues to deal with. You know, I've got a family matter where they have bad health and I have to be there for them. And I couldn't do it without having the strength of not being vampired by everybody else. And when they do try to play that victim now, I can look at it with clear eyes and see that, you know, you're playing that card, but that card's not going to play anymore.
It's not going to play anymore. Well, I really appreciate it. Any other comments, John or Dale? And I love the element that you added to it, Dale, that these crocodile tears of guilt without action is gaslighting. I missed that. Thank you.
Well, I had a family member, the golden child in our family, and he'd push it to the limits every time. And then just about the time everybody was just about at the breaking point, then all of a sudden, oh, God, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. And all the false guilt would come out, you know. And then it was almost like he was waiting for us to rescue him again, and then boom, it turned around for him, and all of a sudden he was back on the receiving end again. So he knew how to play that game, and it was just that's exactly what it was for him. And I'm so glad I see that now. And
you know,
that person is still alive and still a part of my life and tries to get into my life, but I'm not responding to
not
that anymore.
Well, I have a wonderful grandson who is just so amazing and precious to me, and I remember one day he spilled blueberries all over the floor, and he had a little guy was obviously trying to get the blueberries out of the refrigerator, and he dropped them and they were all over the floor. He goes, "Grandma, clean it up." I said, "No, Alexandra, I'm not going to clean it up. I'll help you clean it up, but you know, you spill them, and so clean it up." And then he says, "Grandma, sorry." I said to him, "You know, Alexander, that was the most phony sorry I've ever heard in my life." And he looked at me like, "What?" And then I said, "You know what the real sorry is?" He goes, "What?" I finally humbled him. He goes, "What?" I go, "The real sorry is pick it up. And, you know, I'm going to help you because I know you didn't do it on purpose, and I'll help. And you have to pick it up with Grandma." And I really wanted him to know that I'm not going to settle for this phony sorry without action to repair. And I think he got that. And I want everyone out there to get it, that these words, sorry, meaningless without action. So I want to thank both of you for contributing to, I hope, a valuable conversation and a valuable paradigm shift in people's minds so that they can understand that guilt may be a pathway in the direction of empathy, but it definitely doesn't connect the disconnect. Okay, so thank you, Dale. Always great to hear from you. And John, thank you so much for joining in on this conversation. I really appreciate it. And I'm just going to give a little bit more information about the Psychological Healing Center. And as you can see, we go pretty deeply into the process. And we're really looking for the cause of the problem. And in this case, this theoretical problem was caused by parents who were takers, who vampired out the little child, who took retribution and projected this this need to be paid back, or the need to be given to, by taking $10,000 out of somebody's account. And until we bust the system gone wrong, the behavior may go underground, but the behavior isn't going to be transmuted into a realization and an internal repair. And that's really what we're looking at with the mind map system. We're not looking to manage symptoms. We're not looking to manage problems. We're not only here to teach good communication skills. We're really here to help people paradigm shift from lies and misperceptions and misconceptions into the truth. So I want to thank you, everyone. Please reach out for a free consultation. We can give you more information or get a copy of my book, Be the Cause, Healing Human Disconnect. That's free. Or you can, of course, order it from Amazon. And then I have coming out soon, in the process of being edited, very difficult process, Healing from Narcissistic Abuse. So hopefully that'll be done in a couple of months, and then people can avail themselves of this video, and they can pair it with help from a member of the Psychological Healing Center and be on the pathway to healing from narcissistic abuse. So thank you, everyone, for contributing to the conversation, especially John and Dale. And I'll see you next week. Good night, everyone.